Fantasy football has returned. Welcome back to the FPL experiment. We've had our mid-season break. We're rejuvenated. We've recharged the batteries. And we're full of ambition going in to the final few weeks of the season. Looking for that top 50k finish, let's make some plans for game week 30. ...60 points in the bag during the blank game week. That gave us a nice little 18k jump. And now, lads, we're inside the top 50k.
Come on! Feels good, doesn't it, boys?
I can't believe that we've done it. I know we've not finished the season yet, but we're looking good.
Yeah, I mean, we've not done it yet. Don't start getting cocky, Nick. Don't start getting all full of yourself, like when you won our mini league 3 years in a row or whatever.
I mean, it's easy now. We'll just put a bit of air between us and everyone else. We'll be, you know, top 100 soon, I'd imagine.
Lovely little week. Loved it. And do you know what? Summer returning in the UK, long weekend coming up with Easter, lockdown coming to an end, normality returning, good mood in camp. Greg and I are playing golf this weekend for the Easter weekend. Greg, I know you've been hitting the driving range. I purposefully didn't ask you about the driving range because I wanted to do it on the podcast. How rusty are we talking?
Oh, mate, it was broken. It was that rusty. Do you know what? Actually, I'm lying. You saw the first shot that I did, which absolutely spanned it to the right. But aside from that, it was quite consistent. I was surprised at myself. I mean, I've lost all power. As I said to you, I've literally got the strength of a 12-year-old girl right now.
We're playing with our mate Dan over the weekend. And I don't know if you two know this, even though obviously we're all friends. Dan practices a lot of visualization before playing golf. So the night before, he gets himself in the zone and he does stuff like visualizing his shots landing on the fairway. Greg, have you got any special tactics?
Just, I mean, I think I said it on the scout cast once, just close my eyes and hope for the best.
Your general rule for life.
That's my mantra, Nick. Literally, Nick. Close your eyes, see what happens.
Nick, what are your plans for Easter weekend?
I'm going to go and visit some family and some gardens, probably eat a lot of food, some delicious food, I hope, and enjoy some football. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's good to have it back. So with the podcast today, we'll talk about our captain decision. We'll talk about the FPL experiment team and delve into our transfer decisions. We'll discuss differentials. We've got game week picks as well. So we'll talk about the best picks for the game week. And first of all, let's talk about takeaways. Greg Shaw.
Do you know what? My takeaway was pretty much surmised in your intro. It was nice to switch off, recharge the batteries and come back fresh and energized. I am actually looking forward to FBL. It had, not that I wasn't all the weeks previously, but it had become so intense and game after game and double game weeks, blank game weeks. It was all a little bit of a blur. So it was nice to actually take a step back, completely switch off. I didn't even watch us play the part-timers or the second match either against Albania.
I didn't watch any international football either. I just wanted to have a bit of a break from football. You know, when we came back after lockdown last time and we had the final few weeks of the Premier League, I was so excited about those final few weeks from an FPL perspective. And I've got a bit of that going on. I'm looking forward to it.
I love the way we're talking like we're professional football players. Like, oh God, it's exhausting, this game. Can't believe it.
That muscle fatigue will get you, wacko, mate. It will.
Nick, what's your takeaway?
I'm just buzzing that we've cracked the top 50K. I'm so impressed that the way we've got to this point. I honestly thought disagreement might get in the way of us reaching our goal. But the experiment is working. And especially in such a peculiar and like challenging season, I'm chuffed a bit. So I just want to, you know, say thanks, guys.
Well, let's not pat ourselves on the back just yet. Yeah. Like, too much self-congratulations today, boys. You need to keep yourself on your toes. I don't
confidence
like this,
is key,
how
mate.
Comfortable.
You confidence is comfortable. Key.
Do you know what? If I was listening, I think there'd be part of me, if I was like a listener to this show, that would be thinking, oh, I really hope they do it. I'm really behind them. I've listened through the season. And they'd also be part of me thinking, wouldn't it be funny if they messed it up?
That'd be me. If I was a listener, I'd be the latter. Mm.
Anyway, let's take a look at the FPL Experiment League, because we've got to that point in the season now where it's all about those intriguing battles in your mini leagues, those personal battles, maybe some little side bets that you've got going on. I love all the stories as far as this is concerned. So if you've got some good ones, let us know, maybe a little private message or a public message, I don't mind, at FPL Experiment on Twitter and Instagram. I like in our league, the battle that in our mini league I'm intrigued by is the Kenyans. We've got the three brothers. There's Big Bear, Naughty Bear, Baby Houdini Bear. And Big Bear is trailing significantly. He's like 40 points behind Baby. But he just had the best month. He was the top performing player, I think, in our league. So that is a really intriguing battle.
I hate it when Big Bear does well. Like, it really gets on my goat. He's such a bad winner as well. I hope Big Bear literally crashes and burns for the rest of the season.
Well, he's the mouthy one as well, isn't he? Like, I know this won't have much relevance for our listeners, but he's the sort of player that you play who really thinks they're it, but has actually got nothing in their history to prove that they're any good.
We all know that player.
Hey, Rob. Have you, either of you two, and I think, I don't know why, but I think Greg's more likely. Have you ever entered into a ridiculous FPL bet? You know, like where you have to do a forfeit if you lose?
I do that stupid one. I mean, he's probably getting far too much airtime today, but Robert Kenyon, Big Bear, whoever gets the most points out of the game week has to transfer a fiver to the other person's account. And it's so annoying. Like, literally, as soon as that game week deadline's done, if I've got less points than him, I just get a stupid little message from him saying, transferred that fiver yet, mate? And that little sentence gets on my goat. Oh.
I've also noticed, Greg, you keep saying getting on my goat. Which little goat are you getting on?
Is that not the phrase, get on my goat? Or is it just, get in your goat?
Just get in my goat, mate. Don't get on your goat.
just get on your little goat, ride it into town on a Sunday.
I thought it might have come from, I don't know, when like the old Sherpas would get on the little goats and just get really stressed with these little goats. I don't know. I've never thought about it too much, I'll be honest.
Like most of your little sayings.
Just get on your goat, mate. Adam, in answer to your question, no, I'm not good when it comes to... I'd like to minimise pressure as much as I possibly can. So any sort of ridiculous bet, if it's, you know, like streaking around the town square, would not bode well for my FPL performance. I like to keep it simple.
So you wouldn't want to do something like a podcast where you say at the start of the season there's a target to finish in the top 50K and then have the pressure every week of having to record a podcast.
This is the most pressure I've ever been under. So just like, you know, pipe down a bit.
FPL Experiment League, by the way, top of the league, Murshid, 606 in the world. Would love it if somebody from the FPL Experiment League won it. He played free hit this week, had Lacazette and Trossard. So, I mean, pretty decent. Lacazette with 11, Trossard with 14 for him. So that was a nice little free hit. There are now 14 teams in the FPL Experiment League that are inside the top 50K, which I think is pretty amazing. So Paul Hogarty and David Robson also in the club. I think that's what we maybe should call it, the people that do finish in the top 50K. So well done, guys. Pretty good going.
I've actually particularly enjoyed the few of the private messages that we've been getting from Christian Eriksen, who's had a bit of a meltdown the last few weeks. He's dropped off on the top of this perch at number one in our league, and Murshid's obviously usurped him. So it's been quite interesting watching that battle unfold.
Yes, yeah, a nice little battle at the top of the league, actually. Let's actually get into some fantasy football chat, shall we? So it's Tuesday. So that means there's still a few games to go with the international break. You never really know what's going to happen in terms of team news. I think one of the big questions for this game week, especially with the announcement today that there's going to be a double game week coming up for Spurs, is what do you think about Gareth Bale, Nick?
I'm not sure about Gareth Bale anymore. I kind of feel like he has lost Jose's trust for God knows what reason. And I wouldn't be looking... I definitely wouldn't be getting him in if I didn't have him. And if I had him, I think I might just keep him the next couple of games and see what happens.
Is that because of the double that you would keep him?
Yeah. If he gets back into Jose's good graces, like he could be an incredible player to have for the double. But I think it's a kind of... Keep him if you have him, but don't get him in if you don't.
Do you not think, though, that's a lot of money to have on a could he start, could he not start? It'd play on my mind too much. And I think he has lost that trust from Hayes. And I think the safe option is just to flip him off and bring on Son. Easy. Don't worry. I don't have to worry about it.
Flip him off.
Get him on the back of the goat. Flip him off. Send him to town.
Send him up the mountain. I do agree, Greg. I think it's a lot of money. However, just giving one more... I think there's other things you could do this week. Like looking at our team, for example, getting rid of Bale isn't on my radar. I think there's bigger fish to fry. However, if after next week he's obviously not in Jose's thoughts, then move him on, definitely.
I think a big consideration is going to be, is Son back? It looks like Son is back. Now, I guess one of the problems for not, or one of the reasons for not playing Gareth Bale, as well as some of the stuff that he said, is because he doesn't necessarily track back. And they needed that in the game against Villa before the international break. I think that makes it a bit more likely that Gareth Bale is in the team. Really interesting one. I think lots of players coming back, actually, and lots of interesting stuff going on. Is Grealish back? It looks like he is in training. What do you think, Greg, about Grealish? Because I don't think many people will have him. I don't think many people will bring him in. He's obviously got the Euros, which he's going to be gunning for. Could be a real differential. What do you think?
I love that guy. And we talked about it a while back, about those players that need to make a real late surge to get into that Euro squad. And he is absolutely one of those people. And you look at how sort of lackluster that Villa attack has been since he's not been in it, particularly a Watkins as well, from those big chances created that Grealish usually does for Watkins himself. So if he's back, I think Villa, from an attacking perspective, become a whole new proposition for FPL players.
What do you think, though? Because their fixtures are, as I like to say often, pretty guff. They've got City, Liverpool, United, Spurs between now and the end of the season. I mean, that's not delightful, is it?
I mean, yeah, Liverpool, look, they're leaky. Man City, yes, that will be tough. There's no denying that. But then you've got West Brom, Everton, Man United. I even expect them to probably score against United. Then Crystal Palace, Spurs are leaky. And then obviously they're probably not going to get anything against Chelsea because no one does. But they're not that bad, really. And you'd imagine a goal or two in a few of those games. And if there is, and Grealish plays, he'd be amongst those points.
But didn't you say, like, I remember you saying, Ad, before when we thought Grealish should be back, and you made a great point. When he was fit, like for about a month while he was playing, before he got injured, he was rubbish.
Well, he wasn't rubbish, but I think he just makes Ollie Watkins a lot more attractive as an FPL asset.
We need to caveat this because Watkins is a persona non grata to me at the moment because he stole Bamford's England place from under his nose. Disgusting behaviour. And that goal he scored against San Marino should have been Bamford's goal. Not happy.
Fine. So let's talk about game week picks. We'll start in goal. The obvious selection is going to be Mendy because Chelsea have kept 9 clean sheets in 12, as well as a load of clean sheets in Europe as well. And over recent weeks, he's started to pick up bonus points and he plays against West Brom. I think that's a bit tough to ignore. I don't know if there was anybody else you were thinking about, Nick.
No, he was my pick as well, mate. I think, well, I've got 11 clean sheets in 14 here. I guess that's including Europe. So that's just like crazy business. I think that there's still motivation there as well, like Chelsea looking to finish in the top four. So I think defensively they will stay focused. And West Brom have been really toothless of late. Like they've scored once in the last four. So I think this has got Chelsea clean sheet written all over it. I'm keen for a double up.
I mean, I'd bet every pair of Nick's new big boxers that Chelsea keep a clean sheet this weekend.
That's a lot of money,
but
mate.
Mendy isn't my goalkeeper of choice this weekend.
What are you saying then, Greg? Why'd you go all attitude with your head?
I've chosen someone that's just been inducted into the Telegraph's Project 2000 list, a definitive ranking of Europe's 30 best young players born after January the 1st, 2000.
Are you doing the 20, under 21 thing again? Why are you doing this?
Oi, you just literally interrupted me.
Sorry, carry on.
Nonsense. Yeah. What is this made up list from the Telegraph?
It says definitive here. So,
yeah.
It's,
I mean, really, newspapers aren't relevant anymore, are they? Are they?
Fourth highest goal scoring goalkeeper in the game. 35 points in the last 5 game weeks. Adam Inca hates him.
I don't hate him.
Ilian Meslier. You do hate him.
He's in your team. You can't even pronounce him.
Sorry, Meslier.
Look, mate, I don't hate him. I just think you shouldn't have a young goalkeeper in the Premier League. But yeah, fine. You've talked about him loads. So let's move on to defenders. So Chelsea in defence, they're a great bet. And I think looking at what's going on so far with them, Azpilicueta looks like the safest bet because he hasn't missed a game under Tuchel. One for the future, one that I've got an eye on maybe for our team because he's had the highest expected goal involvement over the last 6 games by a length, is Trent Alexander-Arnold.
A stat from Adam. Mate,
he is so far in front of everybody else.
You've had a bit of time on your hands, haven't you? 2 weeks off.
Over the international break.
Who are you talking about, Greg, in defence?
I know it's boring, but I've gone for Reece James. I really, really, I've got a gut feeling about this guy. He's not that expensive, 5 million. So if he does get rotated 1 week, you're going to have another defender surely on your bench that should be able to come in that'll do a half decent job.
But he's been coming on though, mate. This is the trouble. Like he played 20 minutes last game. He played like, then he had 90 before that. Then he had 45 before that.
Why are you bringing somebody in that is getting rotated with such regularity? It's like a one week thing that might happen, but might not.
You say he's getting that rotated with such regularity, but if you've got a half decent squad and when he plays, his points, he's going to get you assists. He's going to get you clean sheet points. My gut's not been wrong recently from an FPL perspective. And
you've said has gone perfectly to plan. Every single thing that you've said. I mean, I can't quote you back, but I can guarantee that not 100% of the things that you've said have worked out.
Yeah, on you go.
I mean, I'll go 80%, 80%.
Honestly, the guff that comes out of your mouth sometimes.
No one will.
I mean, I love his confidence, though. Like, that's, you know, commendable.
Nick, take over. What have you got?
Well, as I said, I think Chelsea double up is sensible if you can do it this week. I think, you know, they've got West Brom, Palace, West Ham and Fulham in their next fixtures. I think if you're going to get a Chelsea defender, now's a good time. I think, as you said, Aspilicueta looks good, but I think Rudiger, he's almost as secure. And I don't think there's loads of goals or assists, you know, being threatened elsewhere in that defence. And there's just so much rotation. So I think you just got to look at price. And Rudiger, 4.7 million, like I think it's a no-brainer.
I quite like the Rudiger pick. It's just a bit boring, but...
It is. Boring. He's not going to score, is he, really? But
who cares? You're going to get points from a Chelsea defender these days.
In midfield, I think there are two standout options. And bizarrely, they're not elite-level players. And that's just been one of those weird things that's been going on this season. Lingard, 5 goals, 3 assists in the 7 games since he's played for West Ham. I'm not calling him that, Greg. Don't even start doing that ridiculous hand signal. But obviously playing for his place in the England squad. And the other one, you're going to love this, Greg, Rafinha. Honestly.
My man.
I think as well, because of the fixture that he's got against Sheffield United, terrible at the back. Over the last 6 games, the worst defence in the Premier League. They've conceded 13 goals. And Rafinha's in good form. He scored last week. You wrote about him in our scout article that went out this week. And I think, yeah, he's a very, very good option against the Sheffield United team that look roasted.
Yeah, I think it was also interesting to note that not just Rafinha, but Leeds as a team against those teams that have occupying like the current bottom 7 positions, we're flat trap bullies. We've got 24 points out of a possible 27. Looking at this fixture, and you're going to think that I'd be very, very surprised if we don't trounce them and that Rafinha doesn't get amongst the points there.
Nick, who's your midfield pick?
So, yeah, I think Rafinha and Fernandes are the obvious picks this week. But I think outside these guys, I'm big time vibing for Diogo Jota. For Liverpool away to Arsenal. So Arsenal haven't kept a clean sheet since January. They looked so leaky against West Ham. I feel like Jota is going to continue to feature heavily in the running. He's a massive part of that team's future, seemingly. Like I think there's a lot of ongoing doubts around that magic front three that Liverpool have right now. And I think he will get a lot of game time. And I've found this season for me, because of the podcast, probably, I've over-analysed numbers and I've been so much more into stats than I would be normally. And I'm just going off gut now for the rest of the season, I've decided.
Do you know what I heard when you were talking there, when you just said you're going off gut? That to me says you are not doing any more research for the rest of the season. You're just going to come here and pick a player that you like the name of and here, there you go, that's your pick of the week.
You're hearing an excuse. That's what I heard as well.
Yeah. No. But like, you know, between us, we've made some good picks. But I think in my own team, like I'm 700k, right? And it's the worst I've done in a long time. And not if this isn't poor me, I just thought, what am I doing differently? I'm just looking at numbers all the time. Why am I doing it? Just watch the games, go off your gut.
Yeah, I like that Jota pick though. They're so much more dynamic when he's in that team. And he's been, I think I read the stat the other day, it was like he's involved in actually 40% of Liverpool's goals this season.
That's pretty amazing.
As you said, I think he could be, aside from Salah, because I think Salah's still going to go big the back end of this season, he'd be one to look at, definitely.
Up front, obviously, Harry Kane is the option that most people are going to go for this week. He's the best forward in the league at the moment statistically. I think if Son's back, he's a great option. Near enough guaranteed to start as well, which is great. Outside of that, I really like Antonio. So, I mean, this is bizarre because not only have I brought one stat involving expected goals, but also two.
Oh, God.
Over the last six games, he is the second highest for expected goal involvement. And West Ham have got stuff to chase with European qualification on the cards. He's had a nice little rest. The head of massage at West Ham has obviously got very sore thumbs after working those thighs over for 2 weeks. Woo! He is primed for it. He's ready. I'm sure of it.
I wonder what the circumference of his thigh actually is.
Not as big as Roberto Carlos, I don't think.
Do you think his Bobby Charles's thighs have withered over the years?
I don't know, no, because you look at some like old. Do you remember the old school dinner ladies? Their thighs never withered; they're always massive. Bobby Charles will still be large, mate.
Nick, how about up front for you?
I think Bamford Kane will be the go-to picks this week. I'm sure, but I think Calvert-Lewin could be a good pick this week at home to Palace. He scored last time out. I think he seemed to be taking up some better positions, more akin to what he was doing during his purple patch at the start of the season. So, yeah, I fancy him to get in amongst the goals this week.
I'm on that train as well. Like, I think he'll be full of beans, having scored against, the second worst team in the world during the week. But Everton are a funny one. That they're coming off the back of, three straight defeats. But Palace are so poor. And he did score against them in game week three. I know it was aeons ago, but he's been having a great season. I know he's been, up and down and a bit stop and start recently. But if Everton are going to have any hope of trying to finish within that sort of top six, then they need to start picking up points again and quickly. And DCL, from an Everton perspective, he's got 14 Premier League goals, which is the most for an Englishman since Tony Cotty back in 93-94 season when he got 16 for Everton.
Let's have a little chat about differential, shall we? He's back, Greg Shaw.
Differential of the week.
It's mad that we're just about to bring out episode 31 and we're still doing that theme tune, isn't it, really? It's gone on. Sort of something we might have gone with for a couple of weeks, but we've really stuck with it. Anyway, who do you think was the player who got the most points as a differential last time out?
Trossard?
Yes, Nick. 14 points. Good shout. So, going into the game week, Greg was top with 95. I had 89. Nick had 74. Greg Shaw is in the 100 club. Yeah.
More pie.
No, say it how you normally say it, Greg. Come on.
More pie.
Yeah. Neil Maupay got 8 points. He jumps up out of the mud, out of his barren run of not scoring goals, and he just gave it a nice little mole flick.
Boys, that fabled gut of mine paid dividends again.
Nick went for Gross and got 6 points. I went for Ødegaard. He only got me two. So looking at the league table, Nick is just flying up. He's on 80. I've got 91. And Greg has got 103.
I'm sniffing your berm, Adam. Sniffing it.
That was unexpected. Greg, who are you going for this week?
Harrison for Leeds, 5.4 million, 3% owned at home to Sheffield United. He's been playing a bit better of late. He had a bit of a downturn, but I think he's been unlucky not to get actually a lot more points recently. So this week, hopefully, alongside Rafinha, he'll score some points.
Good shout, Greg. Nick, who are you going for?
I'm going for Jota. 6.7 million, 4.6% owned. I think he's going to definitely knock in a couple against Arsenal.
Wow. I mean, that Arsenal defence is shaky. You two have definitely both gone for the fixture. I've also gone for a defence that I don't rate as well. So I'm going for Dwight McNeil. He's 5.7 mil up against Southampton, who I really don't rate at the back. It's definitely a shout based purely on last week's performance. But he's selected by 0.4% of teams and he's just 5.7 mil.
Nice. I like that, Adam.
I like McNeil. I think he's been playing really well of late as well.
So there are picks. McNeil, Jota, Harrison. We'll catch up on that next time around as we get back into some differentials. Let's talk about our team then. So last time out, as I said at the top, we did pretty well, which I don't know about you two, but it went a lot better than I was expecting that free hit week. I was not expecting much.
The one thing I was annoyed about was when we discussed Brighton so much and we got two Brighton players in and it worked well, but we were so close to picking Trossard and it's just the perfectionist in us, I think. I really wanted to have him, but generally it went really, really well.
Yeah, we were really close just before the deadlines picking Trossard, but we decided, as we always do, that integrity is integral, and we stuck to what we said in the podcast, which I sometimes think we don't have to, you know, go for this integrity thing. I know I said it at the start of the season. Anyway, our team for this game week actually looks pretty good. So we've got Martinez in goal, Dina, Cresswell, Shaw, Dallas across the back, Fernandez, Lingard and Rafinha in midfield, Calvert-Lewin, Bamford and Kane up top. And then on the bench, we've got Bale, Gross and Dunk. Now, there's a chance that we wildcard next week to make the most of the fixture swing. I'm undecided on that. And I'm looking at that team thinking, what I'd really like, if there was one thing I could put in there, it would be a Chelsea defender potentially, or alternatively to switch out Bale. But it's almost like I don't feel that we really need to. So I'm quite interested to hear what you two have got to say. What are you thinking, Nick?
Well, I had quite a simple move this week. I really want to get into that Chelsea defence somehow. And I think the only defender that we have in our current first 11 that looks a bit questionable would be Cresswell away to Wolves, are they playing? So I'd like to do Dunk out, Rudiger in, and play him ahead of Cresswell, just because I think a lot of people will have Chelsea defenders. So I think, as we said earlier, that's as nailed a clean sheet as you can get this weekend, and I'd like some of that action. I think to your point around wildcarding, I kind of feel like if you don't use it soon, it's going to be a bit of a waste. So I feel like we should use it for the fixture swing. And in that respect, it kind of gives us a bit of a free hit this week to just go for a 1 week punt. But I think Rudiger, as boring as it is the sensible thing to do.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, with the wildcard? Because if all of those players that we've got this week score really highly, and we've actually got some really nice fixtures for our players this week, then that's going to become really, really difficult. Because, yeah, Leeds all of a sudden go into some games where they're not particularly great. But you kind of look at them and you think they could score against anyone. But maybe that's a conversation for another day. The Cresswell situation concerns me a bit, and putting him on the bench. Because time and time again this season, we've overlooked Cresswell. And he's consistently been consistent. He's non-stop brilliant for us. So that does concern me. I'd be more inclined to bench Lucas Dean. But Greg, I don't know what you were thinking about transfers this week.
I don't think we need to do anything this week. I'm quite happy with that team. And I was looking at, oh, well, could I do this? Could we do that? But then if I think, okay, if I wildcarded this week, who would I really, really want in my team? Yes, I would definitely have Chelsea defenders. But if we don't play a transfer this week, it gives us 2-3 going into game week 31, where we can bring in KDB, we can bring in probably someone else as well, maybe switch out Bale for Son, who will definitely be back by then. That then sets us up quite nicely for what is now going to be a double game week 32 for Spurs, and lets us maybe play a wild card later. And I don't necessarily think, even if we played the wild card at the last game of the season and bench boost before then, it doesn't really matter, because we can then go all out on that last game. So I think we just look at where our squad is. And actually right now we've got a great squad for this week. I don't think we need to do anything. Roll the transfer so we can then get a really good team out and attack game week 31. Game week 32, we'll have a really good squad from what we've built up over last week's anyway. And I think we probably want to start looking at maybe bringing in a few Liverpool and Chelsea players to get us through that blank game week 33. But we can plan that with the double transfers next week by doing that. So I'm not necessarily as concerned as you are about the wildcard situation.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying does make a lot of sense with the blanks and doubles coming up. I'm not that concerned about what we do with the wildcard. It's not burning a hole in my pocket because our league position is pretty good. I think all we need to make sure we do is between now and the end of the season is we have a really good team out.
Getting we do need to make sure that we have 15 players for our bench boost, though, or at least a good strong 14.
And I think that's key, Greg. It's a great point, right? We want to play it the week before we bench boost. So, you know, maybe a couple of weeks before. So we need to have a plan there. I kind of feel the opposite. A wild card is such a valuable thing to have. We need to plan it for the right week. And if there is a week where we think we could ship a load of players that we don't think are going to deliver for the rest of the season, we should do it. Because we don't just want to maintain our position, right? We want to jump up. And a lot of people don't have wild cards left. A lot of people don't have bench boosts left. So we just need to be really careful about when we do it.
Let's just say, Greg, that this week we made Nick's transfer and we got rid of Dunk and we put in Rudiger. Who would, for you, miss out of our back line of Rudiger, Dean, Cresswell, Shaw and Dallas?
I think it would be Dean, because Cresswell, every time we put him on the bench, he's actually come on to save us quite a lot throughout the season. And I don't think Wolves are that great at the moment. That they're not. I think defensively, they've shored themselves up a lot. But Everton is such a funny one. Whenever you expect them to win, and I know we just talked up DCL because I think he will actually get on the score sheet against them this weekend, but they do have these strange results in them. The teams that they should roll over, they actually don't. So if we do bring in Rudiger, I would probably bench Digne.
Would you consider dropping Dallas?
No, just because that Sheffield United team, they're down and out. They're on the beach already. I don't think they care for playing for...
I don't think they get to go to the beach, mate.
Yeah, well, they can go down to Truro or wherever it is.
Yeah, Butlin's at best, but...
I don't know. It's a funny one, but I think against Sheffield United, when Leeds are playing as they are, I'd rather keep Dallas in. But that's just my Leeds blinkers. I'm probably not the best person to ask.
No, I'd agree. I'd rather keep Dallas in.
We're trying to shoehorn in a player who, in theory, we need to almost transfer it in to almost save a bit of position. I think that's what you're trying to get at, Nick, for that Chelsea expected ownership, which I hate talking about. It seems to be so much more prevalent at the moment, the expected ownership conversation.
But you keep bringing it up.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm probably bashing it a bit too hard in that regards, but
that as well.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a tough one. My when I first looked at the team, I didn't want to make any subs this week.
West Ham conceded 3 goals last game. I know Cresswell's come off the bench for us, and but I think that sticks out in our mind because he's done it a couple of times and he's done well for us. But I don't think it's as big a deal as you think. I don't think he's coming off, you know, every other week and saving our bacon. Like, they've not been that good defensively.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that because Wolves haven't been that great as an attacking force. Okay, last time they conceded 3, but it was against an Arsenal team that, as an attacking unit, have been absolutely brilliant. I don't think West Ham are superb at the back, but there's a chance they get a clean sheet, and also there's a good chance he gets an assist. I think it's 10 now, isn't it, for the season? So,
yeah.
How much have we got in the bank?
5 million.
Crikey!
5.1
Why are we
million?
Dicking about with Rudiger? Why don't we get Azpilicueta?
Well, yeah, we can.
I mean, I'd rather Reece James if we're going to get into that Chelsea defence.
So he can play 10 minutes.
I think at the moment it looks like we're not going to make a transfer because we can't seem to decide on it. But, you know, we've got a long time to go until the deadline. It's a Saturday morning deadline. I'm looking forward to hearing from you in your pants, Nick. It's your best time. So maybe we make a transfer, maybe we don't. We're obviously not coming to a decision. We've been away from each other for a while. You know, we're not in the routine of it. It's fine. We can make the decision before the deadline. Let's talk about captain. I think there's only one option for me, and I think it's Harry Kane. He's the best striker statistically. I think with Son, who looks likely to come back in the team, then he's a better bet for me against the Newcastle defence that have been horrendous.
Yeah, it came down to Kane or Bruno. I don't think we've mentioned Bruno much this episode, and I think he's a really good shout this week. But I think it's just that's kind of par for the course now, isn't it? Everyone knows that Bruno will likely be good. But I think it came down to those two for me, and I think Brighton are just a lot more solid at the back. So it makes total sense to put the armband on Harry Kane.
I think these game weeks in the run of the season, you just target whoever is playing Newcastle or Sheffield United. And I think Newcastle right now, they're just in disarray. There's constant infighting. So many bad stories coming out of that training camp that Kane is the obvious choice. It feels a bit boring, but like right now, boring is fine. I'm happy being boring with Kane as captain choice. I would have, if they weren't playing Newcastle, I would have gone Rafinha as captain this week. But Harry Kane is captain choice.
I was thinking about Rafinha, but I agree with you, Greg. We don't really need to be all that outrageous with our captain decision this week. We kind of need to go with, maybe in a boring way, what most people would do, because it could cost us quite a few places if we don't go for Harry Kane.
Everyone in that top 50K is going to be captaining Kane, I would imagine.
Yep.
Yeah, so there or thereabouts. I think where we've been good recently is, and Nick, you brought this up about 6-7 weeks ago, is having that template of maybe 8 or 9 players and having those sort of 3 differentials in and around them. And that's where we've done really well over the last sort of 6 weeks, where we brought in Bale when he just literally exploded. We brought in Lingard right on point as well.
So we may well make a transfer. We might not. It looks likely we won't, but, you know, I'll let you know. I'll post the team up on our social media at FPL Experiment. And so that's Instagram and that's Twitter. Have you guys had a look at the reviews for the podcast, by the way, on Apple recently?
No.
So we did ask for a few 5-star reviews. Feel free. We've had a couple that have come in. Paul Current saying we're the best FPL pod by far. Arise, the king of FPL podcasting. Which one of us do you think he's referring to? Who do you think is the king? Because we can't all be the king.
I've always had a soft spot for the current Burn, so he's probably talking about me.
Do you know what? Yeah, look, if Nick wants to be, you can be our king, Nick.
So Nick's the king.
King Nicholas.
Arise, Sir Jackson.
Princess Greggy.
So we've also had another message come through from Rick. So Rick, as the title for his review, wrote, "They asked us to write." And in the blurb, he's written a really nice comment.
Yes, Rick. That's a support grab I like to hear.
Yeah, brilliant. Really nice. Love that. So if you've got any funny comments or reviews that you would like to pop in, then feel free. Love to hear from you, as long as it's 5 stars. Also, lads, just finally, non-football related stuff at the end. Have you two had a go on any kind of VR headset? Because work have sent me through this free VR headset, and I am addicted to Beat Saber.
Adam, you probably don't know this, but I was sent a lot of videos from Esme at the weekend of you just dancing away in the kitchen to yourself. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So I also, on Saturday night, found a dancing one. And so you walk up to this lady on a dance floor, and she's like, "Oh, hey there, beautiful." I'm like, "Oh, stop it." She's like, "Oh, you want to dance?" I'm like, "My girlfriend's over there. Crikey." And then she's like, "Come on, just dance with me." And we're doing this little routine. And she wanted a piece of me. She would, the compliments that she was giving my dancing, woo!
Yeah. What's the aim of the game? So, or do you just have to woo her?
Yeah, you woo her with your dancing, which, as you can imagine, I was...
Old snake hips.
Yeah, a bit too good at, you know, if what? Anything.
Surprisingly graceful, though, even with a headset on and your winkle pickers on in the kitchen. Honestly, it was great. Mm. Loved it.
I'd love to see that. Can you send me those videos, please?
Yeah.
Talking about videos, I've really enjoyed Nick Jackson trying to learn sport over the international break that maybe he's not necessarily accustomed to. So I posted on Twitter today his attempt at basketball, which was frankly embarrassing. Adam, you posted on Instagram, I think it was last week, his attempt at throwing a American football over a tree.
In all fairness, though, Nick has got a pretty strong arm. Like, I did not imagine that he would be able to get that sort of distance, both up into the sky and in terms of how many meters he could chuck the ball. I mean, there was a big old tree in the way, and the game was to get it through the branches of the tree, and that didn't really work.
Thank you, mate. Like,
in terms
I appreciate
of
that.
Pure strength, I was not expecting that pure power.
My arm has been described as a jackhammer. It's got that much power in it. But I just lacked a little bit on the accuracy. My spiral, though, the spiral on the pigskin was phenomenal. So, I mean, that could be, if I'm going to get into an American sport, that could be it. Baseball next,
yeah. What, actually hitting the ball, or are you going to be in the field catching with a mitt?
I'm a pitcher. I'm using the jackhammer, mate. while we've been chatting, I looked up the origins of getting his goat. Mm. And this expression comes from a tradition in horse racing. Thought to have a calming effect on high-strung thoroughbreds, a goat was placed in the horse's stall on the night before the race.
Oh, we should buy Greg a goat and get it in his bedroom.
Yeah, Joe would love that.
Yeah, it's very similar to what you thought it was, Greg.
Highly strung thoroughbreds. That's Greg in a nutshell, that.
Get him a goat. Get him a goat.
From the Jackhammer, the Goat Man, and me, goodbye. Thank you for listening.